The documentary The Minister's War tells the story of a Unitarian minister, Wetzel Sharp, and his wife, Martha, who left Wellesley, Massachusetts to help save thousands being persecuted by the Nazis in Eastern Europe during World War II. Who were these American heroes? What drove their willingness to put the well-being of strangers over that of themselves and their family? Emma Blackster is the associate producer of the film and the great-granddaughter of the Sharps. She has been an international activist and devoted humanitarian since graduating from Mills College in 2009. Since then, she has worked in two nonprofits devoted to international relief. The Minister's War will be shown Sunday afternoon at 1:30 in Seeley Hall at Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Emma Blackster to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It is a great pleasure to have you with us. What got you and your father, correct? What got the two of you working on this project?
It's been a recent discovery for me, and a somewhat recent discovery for him, this story in our family history. I was asked about 2 years ago by my dad if I would be willing to help him make a movie. I didn't entirely know the story of the Sharps at the time, and when I kind of came on board to the project, and you know, since then have been deeply involved in doing a lot of investigation work around their story and archival research around what they did, both here in Massachusetts and then also working with organizations in Prague where they did a lot of rescue work, and in France. It's really been a kind of an amazing journey for both of us, for my dad and for myself.
How much did he know about his grandparents and ultimately passed on to you about your great-grandparents?
Yeah, so it was kind of, this is kind of a funny story. My grandparents' work was really kind of an amazing part of their marriage and their journey. They were very in love when they left to go do rescue work, and by the time they came back, I think there was really a separation between them, partly based on what they had both kind of collectively lost, knowing that everyone they had worked with had perished in Europe. I think there was a lot of kind of very deep feelings there, and they divorced, and then the story was really lost in my family for years. My dad grew up knowing nothing about it at all. When he was in eighth grade, he asked his mom, you know, I have this assignment from my English teacher, and I'm supposed to interview someone of moral courage. What should I do? And she said, why don't you go talk to your grandmother? And he said, why? I have no idea what you're talking about. And kind of showed up there with a tape recorder as a 13-year-old, and for the first time heard this story about kind of his grandmother in this totally different light as this, you know, rescue worker, kind of spy during World War II, doing all of these, you know, risky rescue missions, and was completely blown away by that. And so really for the past 10 years or so, this has been a story that he's worked really hard to bring to light through this documentary. And then also through working with a nonprofit that creates curricula, around the Holocaust and genocide. And they're called Facing History in Ourselves. And they've just finished a really amazing curriculum that can be accessed from their website. And that has started going to 23,000 teachers this year. So all of their kind of contacts are starting to incorporate this story also into their work.
When you look at what they did, how much of it came from their individual, and obviously this is in your opinion, how much of it is their individual courage and the partnership of the two of them, and how much of it is the Unitarian faith?
That's a really interesting question. I think that this is really a unique story about these two individual people. And there's no question that they were deeply impacted by their Unitarian faith. But there is something unique about them, I think, as the centerpiece of this story, that they, in 1938, they were living in Wellesley, and the Unitarians in Boston had a connection with a very big congregation of Unitarians in Prague. And they were getting increasingly alarming reports into the Boston office about what was happening. And, you know, Czechoslovakia at that point was very democratic, very free-thinking society, and people were getting more and more concerned that there was going to be a Nazi invasion. And, you know, of course, they were right. And so along with getting these reports, the Unitarian Association decided to try to send two people on a fact-finding mission. They really wanted a couple, which I think is really interesting. But they specifically wanted a couple to go to what was then Czechoslovakia and to figure out what was going on, to send reports back to Boston and to kind of be the ones on the ground there. And they asked 17 couples before they asked the Sharps, and they all said no. My grandfather was called by the head of the Unitarian Association at the time, who said, you know, I have a rather large request for you, Waitstill. They had a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old at the time. And he laid the proposal on the table for them. And I think while it was an incredibly scary decision for them, I think what is so unique and amazing about them and their legacy is that their personal convictions about how horrible the Nazis were, really, at a time when most Americans weren't really aware of what was going on in Europe, their personal convictions were so strong that they said yes, and they went home in that same night and said, you know, what kind of preparations are we going to take to leave? And ended up leaving my grandmother and my great uncle with the congregation in Wellesley. They were confident that they would be looked after and safe, but I think, you know, who wants to leave their 2-year-old?
Sure.
It was still a very, very tough decision for them, especially for my great-grandmother. I know that in her memoir she talks about the day of leaving and watching her kids kind of run to the door and saying, Mommy, don't go, and just how heart-wrenching that was. But at the same time, they were so excited to be able to fulfill and live out, I think, their personal convictions. And that's definitely one of the things about them that I find so amazing.
You would like to think, and I think this is one of the things that comes across in the film, is you undoubtedly put yourself in that position and say, you know, what would I do? Mm-hmm. And you would love to think that you would do it, but here you have 17 people who said no way, and then this couple that says yes, sign us up, even though it puts our, you know, obviously our family in great turmoil.
Yeah.
And it says a lot about them. But even then they didn't know what they were getting into.
No, they sure didn't. And at the time that they left, Czechoslovakia was still, you know, democratic. It had not been invaded. So they arrived on the ground, and then a couple weeks later, the Nazis did invade, and the situation changed dramatically between, you know, those two times. And they quickly realized that what had been this fact-finding mission for the Unitarian Association quickly morphed into much more of a rescue mission and kind of thinking on the ground, working with a whole underground of other rescue workers, specifically the previous family that had been the democratic, democratically elected to the presidency of Czechoslovakia was very helpful on that underground, and they worked really closely with them. That's the Masaryk family. And so I think that they kind of went into it thinking this is going to be something we'll do for a couple weeks and we'll go back to Boston. And then when they saw how dire the situation was, there was suddenly no going back in a, you know, timely fashion. And they ended up not leaving for 9 months, and they only left because there was a warrant for their arrest, and they knew that they were going to be taken to, you know, prison or to camps. So they kind of had to get out of there at that point. And after working in Czechoslovakia for that period, came back to Boston. They had done a number of kind of different levels of refugee work on that first tour, came back to Boston, and then decided to return, which for me is actually the kind of most amazing part of the story, is that they knew at that point they weren't going in blind. They knew what the beginning of World War II was starting to look like. They knew that the way people were just disappearing all around them and how scary, you know, what a police state it was becoming. And they returned to Portugal and to southern France and continued doing different kinds of work. So that to me is really what is so amazing. And, you know, 17 American ministers had now. And then on top of that, there's like another really amazing statistic, which is that the state of Israel acknowledges non-Jews who saved Jews during the Holocaust as a designation called Righteous among the Nations. Excuse me. And there are 23,000 people who are recognized as Righteous among the Nations, and there's only 3 Americans. And 2 of them are the Sharps. And, you know, that's very humbling, but it's also, I mean, it's humbling that I know about the Sharps, but it's also such an amazing kind of statistic about, you know, the U.S. involvement at the time and, you know, where were more Americans? Yeah, exactly.
We only have about 2 minutes left, but I just want to touch on this because I think it's a fascinating aspect of the film and of the story. But I don't want to give it short shrift, but it is, when you talk about what they were able to do, I mean, it was a number of things that allowed them to save and help so many of those who were persecuted by the Nazis. I mean, thousands of people, but what was it that they were able to do?
Well, they both, so the distinction for being recognized by Yad Vashem, one of them is that you need to have active involvement in saving, you know, one or more Jews, and that you must have risked your own life. And another is that you have to have the testimony of living witnesses. So the things that allowed them to be recognized by Yad Vashem were that my grandmother helped to put together a kinder transport of children, mostly from southern France, and brought them to America, many of whom were adopted or some of whom were reunited with their parents. And my great-grandfather, Waitsville, directly participated in the rescue of an intellectual named Leon Feuchtfanger, who's quite famous in the 1930s. Don't hear as much about him anymore, but he was a German-Jewish dissident who wrote widely on you know, the evils of the Nazis, and was on their most wanted list. And Waitsville spirited him out over the Pyrenees and then out through the port of Lisbon, which was the last free port for, you know, the 1940 through 42. All the other ports had been closed. So, but he there was all kinds of disguises and kind of, you know, bringing him on the train and then up over the mountains, and he and his wife were able to escape. So those are their two kind of most official distinction, but there's so much that we don't know, and they had to destroy almost all of their records very quickly because if they were found, it was much more dangerous than, you know, they just had to keep it in their head. And so we also have this, you know, kind of feeling that there's a lot more information out there in the world and that, you know, you could actually find some other rescues, but those two are have been quite backed up historically, so...
Emma Blackster is the associate producer of The Minister's War. The film will be shown Sunday afternoon at 1:30 in Seeley Hall at Smith College in Northampton. For more information, you can go to smith.edu for details. Also, check out The Minister's War. It has a great Facebook page that will tell you more about the project and more about other showings of the film. Emma, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Wonderful, wonderful to meet you.
Thank you very much for sharing the story with us. I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.